Mr. Fred Gilmore, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Gilmore?
I was born in Cooper on the 31st of August, 1914. And one of my earliest recollections, in point of fact, is horse-drawn artillery, because in the 1914-18 war, where we stayed at Westlands, which is at the west end of the town, the field opposite the house was an artillery camp. So it was natural that my earliest recollections are associated with what, after the war, my friends and I knew as the camp.
What about your family? Could you tell a bit about your family background?
My family, yes. My grandmother came from Kilconker, and she was born in 1860, and she died in 1933. There are Gilmores at Markinch, Fruchy, Falkland, and Gray's and Nelson's, which Nelson's my middle name, but also involved in that area. One of my relatives is Dr. Nelson Gray, who is a minister. The maternal side of the family, my grandfather was a blacksmith and wheelwright in Newport, and he and his wife were from the West Highlands. They both spoke Gaelic, and they were related to the McLaughlins or the West Highlands, and I had three uncles born there. John, who had a J.T. Young, who had a garage in Newport, and Charlie Young, who had was an MPS in two chemist shops in Anne Street in Dundee, and Peter Young, who served his time as a vet, who was a vet in St Andrews. And there were Margaret, Bessie, Aggie, Flo, and Euphemia. Euphemia was my mother. Margaret and Bessie were both spinsters. Bessie had a newsagent shop in Newport in the High Street. Aggie was married and in South Africa, and she was a Kay from Tayport. And Flo was married to Hugh Hutchison, who was a cabinet maker, and they were in Cookstown in Northern Ireland, where they had a cafe and did bed and breakfast.
Now, what about your parents? What did they do?
My mother was a pupil teacher at Forgan School, and then came to teach in the Castle Hill. And my father was time served with the Westwoods of Cooper, which was in the Bonnygate, and he served his time there with Alec Muckersey, whose brother was Bailey Muckersey. And Alec went to Milnathorpe, I think my memory is certainly, where he set up as a newsagent's business there.
How many children were there in your family? Your father's family?
In my father's family, he had, as I say, my grandmother was widowed in 1879. when my father was 8 years old, and there were three younger brothers.
Sorry, I misphrased that. How many brothers did you have?
I had my twin brother and an elder brother. And the eldest in the family was my sister, who was born in the 1907. Yes.
Now, what was life like growing up in Cooper then?
Life was quite good. At that time, we spent 1 year at Bell Baxter School, which was then a fee-paying primary. And then it must have been taken over by the county, because we then spent some time as pupils of a primary school, which was held in the church hall of St. John's Church. I never attended the Castle Hill Primary, wasn't it? The primary school in the Sharp Lane, no, I didn't attend that. I went direct to the Castle Hill, which was at the hill at the east end of the town. And then we sat what was called the control examination. And then we went up to Bell Baxter School in 1926. And I was there until 1932.
How did you do at school?
I played for the cricket team and I played for the rugby team. And I didn't take my higher examinations because the Latin teacher didn't think I would pass it, so he wouldn't allow me to sit them. But it didn't worry me in the least. It was a qualification that didn't affect me at all. My twin brother went and joined the bank when he was 15, as he used to do in those days. And my eldest brother and my sister both went up to St. Andrews University. My sister was an MA and took primary teaching in the Borders. My eldest brother joined a firm of chartered accountants in Dundee after he'd taken his MA degree and then became a CA. And he was in the short lead for the treasurership of Angus County and didn't get it, and went to Ceylon due to the influence of a friend whose brother was in Ceylon, and this lad McLeod played rugby for Hoyt, although Jack himself didn't play rugby.
Perhaps a bit less about your brother and more about you. What did you like at school? Did you have a favourite subject?
I had no particularly favourite subject at school. I just studied French and German, maths and English, and was involved with the choir.
What about sports? You mentioned sports. Was that important to you, sport?
Yes. Sport has played a fairly important part in my life generally. I played both cricket and rugby for the school, and at the same time I was playing golf and fishing. And when I went to St. Andrews, I became a member of the new golf club at St. Andrews, and I played off a handicap of 9, which eventually came down to 7. And that was my favourite course, was the new course at St. Andrews, as opposed to the old course, because I had a tendency to slice, and the winds on the old course are on the right hand side of the course, so it wasn't very suitable for me.
Now, what about, what were you going to do when you left school? Was anything planned for you, or did you...
Oh, yes, it was planned for me because my father was a director of W.C. Henderson's, the booksellers at University Press in St. Andrews. And I went there from 1932. And in 38, I left the shop itself as a bookseller and we were University Press, and I joined the finishing department in the bookbinding and collating and using the guillotine, which was a 40-inch guillotine, to cut down the paper to sizes. And I also used the gilding tools in the bookbinding department put the gold initials on wallets and purses. We used the 24 carat gold leaf, and you had the brass tools which were heated to force the carat gold onto the wallets or purses. Also, you had the collating of books and the rebinding of books and the gold leaf, which was used to stamp the titles on the books.
And you did this working as a bookseller and bookbinder in St. Andrews. You actually moved there, you didn't commute.
I did commute.
You did commute?
Yes.
So you stayed in Cupar and worked in St. Andrews. And did you enjoy the work?
Yes, especially in the collating and bookbinding department. I enjoyed that thoroughly because working with one's hands, and it was, I suppose, it was a change from selling university books, because our trade was mostly with students, whom we encouraged to open accounts. And we did a tremendous trade with them. When we started in October, when the university came up, it was pandemonium. It was pandemonium. It was very busy.
Now, just looking at other aspects of your life, did you have any other particular hobbies? Besides,
yes, I had... my hobbies were, when I went and joined St. Andrews, working on a Saturday meant I had to give up my rugby. But being in St. Andrews, golf was available, and I still maintained my fishing on the Eden.
So sport, which we've looked at a bit, that carried on being important. What about you're quite a religious man, a Presbyterian, I believe. Were you involved in the church before the war?
I was involved in the church from when I was 18. I was a Sunday school teacher in the junior Sunday school. Because of the numbers involved, the junior Sunday school met in the church hall after the morning service, and the senior Sunday school met in the church. That would be 1932, and I was also involved with the church choir, and we had a junior choir, which we used to run concerts. And it maybe sounds strange, but we had to apply to the customs and excise to get an exemption from stamp duty, which you had to pay on the tickets. Then that took me up to 1938, when I came back to Cooper to join my father in the newsagents and booksellers business in Cooper.
So after training at the bookbinder, you worked for your father's newsagents?
Yes. That was in 38. And then I joined the Territorial Army in February 39.
Well, now, what made you do that? What had made you decide to join then?
Basically, because a lot of my friends, my rugby-playing friends, joined at the same time.
Now, which barracks was this you went? You joined it? Is it the Bonnygate barracks or the old
barracks? There was no such thing as barracks. There was a
drill hole. Sorry.
A drill hole in the Bonnygate, which is still there yet.
And what? How did you go about joining? I mean, what was the procedure?
The procedure in joining was you went up to the drill hole and signed on.
Simple as that?
It was as simple as that.
And was there a medical or any tests or anything?
No.
Now, what night was drill night? What sort of training did you do on it, if you don't remember?
A lot of the training was involved was the driving of armoured cars.
Now, you were joining the 1st 5 and 4 Yeomanry. Which squadron was it, basically?
It was E Squadron. E Squadron, the 1st 5 and 4 was Cooper.
And what type of armoured cars were these?
The armoured cars we lost them very early on. And went on, we were converted to a mechanised cavalry unit, and as such we had tanks and Bren Gun carriers.
Okay, I'll come back to that. But what about these initial armoured cars? Were they Rolls-Royce ones? Or
the Rolls-Royce, yes.
And what were they like? How did they go about teaching you to drive them?
I wasn't there long enough to remember anything about that, because we changed over
almost immediately
to tanks and Bren Gun carriers.
And which tank were they?
The tank was the Mark 5Bs, I think that was what they were called. They had the original ones had twin machine guns, a .303 and a .5 Vickers. This, they found the vibration on the gun caused by, especially by the .5s, meant that the cone of fire was absolutely ridiculous, and they took them both out, and we finished up with 2 pounders. And 17 pounders eventually on the tanks. The 17 pounder fired a solid shot, itchy and smoke. But we also had on the sides of the tanks we had 2 projectors which could be used for smoke as well.
What were the tanks like inside, and what did each member of the crew do?
You had a driver, you had a crew commander, and a wireless operator. And that was the entire.
So who would fire the gun?
The wireless operator was a wireless operator and gunner. The Bren Gun carriers had, on the troop leaders, they were 3 of the crew, the driver, the troop leader, and the wireless operator. They had Bren guns and rifles, and the two commanders would have a revolver. There was 3 of a crew in the troop leader's car, a carrier, because he had a wireless, and that meant you didn't have space for the 4 of the crew.
What did you think of these tanks and Bren Gun carriers?
Personally, I was in a Bren gun carrier, and the form was that we dismounted to go into action, as opposed to the tank, where you were fighting from the tank itself. The last time...
We'll come to their use in action, perhaps, you know, when we come to... So, this is a drill training, a drill night training.
There was foot drill.
What did you think of foot drill?
It was interesting, but soul destroying. We thought it was pretty useless. We were more interested in getting on to the tanks, especially.
And what else would you do on a drill night?
We also did a degree of rifle training, and we went out to the ranges at Ladybank and fired courses out there. And we would also do weekend courses.
Now, what would you do at weekends?
I was fortunate that I could be free on a Saturday, and we used to do a Saturday afternoon and Sunday till 5 o'clock out at the training area at Ladybank.
Is that Ansmuir?
Ansmuir.
And what type of training did they get up to it then?
It was mostly rifle range and rifle work. And they weren't keen on using the Vickers machine gun there because of the cone of fire.
And did they teach you to drive anything? I mean, did you have any driving training during drill nights or during weekend sessions?
I didn't get a lot of driving training.
Did you get any?
Not in the army, strangely enough. I learned to drive when my brother came back from Ceylon, and he got a Wolseley 14 horse car, and I learned to drive on that.
So it wasn't the army that taught?
The army that taught me to drive, no.
What about the summer camp? What do you remember of that? I think they went to Catterick or near Catterick.
We were down at Catterick itself, and this was under canvas, and it was very good because we had recreational transport that used to take us from Catterick to Scarborough, and we had quite a nice time at Scarborough. Beaches there.
And what actual training were you doing at Catterick?
The training at Catterick was involved with... I was involved with the rifle and Bren gun training. The most amusing incident that we had at Catterick was after the lunch, the Sawyer stoves were filled up with water, and then they had a disinfectant added to them to keep them clean. And when the fatigue party went to make the tea, and I'm talking about the water itself, they forgot to empty the Sawyer stoves. And we had our tea with this added quotient in it. The result was at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning, people were running mad across the camp to get to the latrines. And it was perfectly obvious when you saw a man stop running, you knew exactly what had happened. It was rather ridiculous. It was an inquest. but it was just hushed up as being taken as one of the things that could happen at a camp.
And what about the training? Did you actually see any training with either the unmarked fives or the Bren carriers at camp?
To be perfectly candid, I can't remember very much about it there.
Now, one thing that we've not mentioned is the doubling up of the TA, which happened about a couple of months after you joined it. What do you remember of that?
That was the easy enough thing in the world, because we went along to St. Andrews. The Sergeant Major was Bobby Gibson, and I can't remember who went to St. Andrews, but the St. Andrews squadron, which was 95 men, was recruited in one night. That was a squadron of the 2nd Regiment, because the 1st Regiment headquarters was Kirkcaldy, A squadron was Cooper, B squadron was Dunfermline, and C squadron was Forfar.
What do you remember about when you were actually called up for the mobilisation of the territorials, which I think was on the 1st or 2nd of September?
Yes, it is.
2nd of September on that leaflet you've got.
We were simply told to report to the drill hall, and we reported to the drill hall. Now, the drill hall was not big enough to accommodate the squadron, so that we actually went and were billeted in the Sunday School Hall, Mill Parish Kirk Sunday School Hall, and they dug up and reused the lines that were used for the latrines, which they put up in the 1914-18 war. And we were there, and we did our route marching.
What were the route marches like?
They weren't too bad, because I was used to doing a lot of walking as a part recreational, and that made little or no difference. And I was usually in charge of parties by that time, because I was a corporal then.
When did you get promoted to corporal?
I got promoted to corporal on the 22nd of June 1939.
So, well before. What difference did that make to you, being a corporal?
Relieved you to a certain degree of guard duties, because it was only once in a while that you were in charge of a guard. It also meant you had responsibilities, which was quite good. You were in charge of parties, and you had to delegate fatigue parties and things like that. You were in charge of them and make sure that things were done properly. And especially as the drill hall was in the Bonnygate, the guard tended to drift down towards the street and get chatting with birds, so you had to keep an eye on them.